Welcome to the Unshakable Principle Podcast. I'll be your host, Saeed, and with me is my co-host, Aurangzeb Sohail. We'll be discussing the business principles that have stood the sands of time.
Today, we're going to be discussing the Millionaire Booklet by Grant Cardone. Now, this is a pretty small book in comparison to the books that we've done previously on our podcast. This book is about 40 pages, give or take. It took me about 30 minutes to read this, so it should tell you a lot because my reading speed is pretty slow. So you can probably get it done in about 15, 20 minutes. And just starting off with this book, this book was, I let Aurangzeb take charge with this book because I've been yapping on.
That's all right.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, well, this is one of the most articulate way he described, Grant described, the ways to get rich, which are not taught in society, actually. And once people read this concise manual, they go on to realize, oh, they never did the math. Oh, they never knew what it meant to stay broke, meaning they had everything in reverse. So it debunks most of the myths. And chapter one basically starts off by saying that getting rich is not a fantasy. So he immediately says in the book that he's about to debunk the myth that it's possible to be a one percenter, and it's not a fantasy. There are actionable steps you can take to take control of your financial destiny. So basically, it's divided in steps. And as mentioned, I just said that the first one explains that you need to debunk the myth, right? Get it out of your head that getting rich is not a fantasy, right? You need to understand that anyone can do it if you're smart enough and if you're willing to put in the work. So shall we dive deep, Moise?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So the next chapter says, first you debunk the myth that you eliminate the excuse that only the rich or the special among us can ever taste true success. It's not this elusive godlike esoteric thing that only the special among us can ever taste.
I see where you put that line in from.
I quoted Will Smith there. So chapter two is where you get your advice. So this basically means that our financial advice, where we were taught about money, was basically inside our homes, and that's where we get our advice. Right, most of us were taught that money doesn't grow on trees, right? Or our parents usually said that a penny saved is a penny earned, or something like that. So he says that that is wrong. That is the poor mindset. And that is what keeps people poor. And basically, there is no such thing as middle class, right? Because if there was such a thing, if there is no such thing as middle class, either you're broke or you're rich. And the poor is basically your mindset, right? So it's very important that you start following people who've actually made money and listen to their advice and not some guru or your parents on how to get rich.
Yeah, this was really interesting with the fact that usually we get our financial advice from people who aren't really that well off themselves. And it's basically like the fact that you're getting medicine from someone who's not really a practicing doctor. He's someone who, someone who's not specialized in that area. So what he really emphasizes in this chapter, I felt like he was just emphasizing the fact that we have wrong role models for the wrong things. So even though our family raises us and everything, and we obviously have an emotional bond and stuff, a lot of people have families who aren't really well off to begin with, and they don't really have the financial literacy to educate you with the financial literacy that will help you succeed in the future. So it's like a lot of people, when they're raised with a mentality that
they
aren't really... Yeah, go ahead.
Grant Cardone actually says that, right? He said that he got his advice from his mother, who used to say, waste. Be grateful and basically save, and that's the only way, right? And he goes on to quote that you never take advice from a quitter or a pretender. So it's very important where you get your financial advice from, because that could be the make or break decision that makes you a millionaire, right? So
and tying this back to another one of our podcasts with Rich Dad and Poor Dad, where from his stepdad, I think, who was the richer one. I don't exactly remember, but really mentors can help and help make and break you, as you said. The fact is that where you're getting your information from is just as important as
exactly.
I don't know what I was trying to make.
No, it's exactly as important as basically living, right? Because there's a very good quote over here. It says that if you're going to be unhappy, be as rich as possible. So
this was,
so the first step is this wasn't actually the first step. This was just you're trying to basically break the pattern and fix that broken mentality. So that was the initial thing, right? So it's very important where you get your advice from, and you need to eliminate that's saying that only the special among us can get rich, right? So step one basically goes, you need to make a stake in the ground and make the millionaire decision. So you need to decide today, write it down on a diary, because we all know writing goals is important, and it's been proven by science that if you write down your goals, you have a better chance of achieving them, right? So he says, put the stake in the ground right now that I'm going to become very, very rich. That's what Grant did, right? He himself, when he was young, he put a stake in the ground that's it. I'm not going to be poor. I'm going to be a millionaire one day, and I'm going to help a lot of people.
And that really comes to reinforce the idea that if you're able to articulate the ideas in your mind, because the ideas in your mind are just going haywire. They're just all over the place. They don't really have a set direction. And once you start to write that thing down, once you start saying that thing, you really start to manifest it of sorts, where you're creating it into something that's actionable and not something that just has a lot of directions and stuff. But moving on.
So you just gotta put a stake into the ground, right? Like use a planner, just write it down so you know where you're headed. And step number two is you need to do the math, millionaire math. And I assure you, even I didn't do this. No one does this. And ever since I read this rule, every time I write down a goal, if it's monetary, I always break it down. And this is what he does. So doing the math involves breaking your goals down so it seems achievable, right? So now if you say, I want to make a million a year, it sounds huge, right? Because you'll be in the top 1%. But if you actually break it down into smaller pieces, you can see that it's very achievable. For example, you make a $100 product, right? yep. and sell it to 10,000 people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So 10,000 people, that's too much. It's okay. How about you make a $1,000 product, or you buy a, for example, you get a $1,000 product and sell it to 1,000 people. So 1,000 to 1,000, it's 1 million, right? Okay. Now, yep. now you're saying, oh, 1,000 people over the course of 1 year, that's long, and a $1,000 product, that's too much. Okay, he goes on to break it down even further. What if you could 1,000 people pay $83 per month for 12 months, right? And that's what we've seen, like these subscription boxes, right? You pay like $100 for 12 months, and if you get 1,000 people to do it, you're a millionaire.
Mm-hmm. And he really kind of like really dives deep into all of these different iterations of money-making machines, sort of, like yeah, all the yeah. different kind of income values you could have and the amount of customers you could have. And exactly. he just mixes and matches them up to yeah. produce monetary goals of sorts.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on actually if you want to say, so if you find it hard to sell people, you increase the price, right? If you're good at selling, or if you know 1,000 people, then you can afford to sell a cheaper product, right? I mean 10,000 people. So
mm-hmm.
it depends on which end of the stick you want to play at, right? So
and
but
he also,
says that
all, mm-hmm. yeah, and do he the also the, just, we got some ego battles right here.
Okay. I'm humble enough.
Okay, I'm not, but anyhow, I forgot what I was gonna say, but yeah. So I was just gonna say that with the different prices of the products, he just really gives people of different people at different stages. So if someone's selling real estate, you'll probably be making more in one sale than someone who's selling insurance and he's getting like $10 per customer or referral or whatever. So he just breaks it down with whatever industry you're in of sorts.
And he actually also gives a very crude example, right? He says, right, you can also become a millionaire if you have a 50K salary for 20 years, which mm-hmm. is most people's direction, right? But he says that you must do the math to create possibility and then create a strategy. So,
yep. He just says
the
that
next step.
You can't really be... He was just like... You really have to align your goals with where you're at and where you need to be. So once you know the monetary goal that you need to be, it just gives you a direction. As he was discussing it in the previous chapter, but go ahead with the next chapter.
Increase income. So this is all about what can you do at your existing job to increase your income. Right, so whether you're in sales or you're at a company, what can you do inside that job to get that additional compensation, to get more money, to get more bonuses? What can you do, right? So, and even if you don't have a job, what can you do now to basically increase your current level of income? So even goes as far as to eliminating the excuse that he says that if you sell his online courses, he will pay you $5,000 in referrals, right? So he mm-hmm. says there are so many ways to create income nowadays, from internet sales to home writing blogs, editing for authors, releasing a podcast, creating affiliate programs, so yeah. being involved in network marketing. So he says all of these increase income and can lead to wealth creation, right? So this is the first step that you need to, this is the third step, right? You've done the math. Now you need to know that how can you add income flows? So the first income flow is very important. So if you're at an existing job, how can you earn 2,000, 3,000 more? And mm-hmm. if you have nowhere to start, just start selling your old junk, start flipping it on eBay, start selling it on your local Craigslist or Gumtree or whatever.
Yeah, he really just emphasizes the fact that once you have a set value for each month, and it's obviously going to be above your current payroll, because otherwise you're already achieving it. And to kind of like achieve that goal, you can head in a multitude of directions, and you really need to figure out where you need to go with that. And once you're doing that, you can go with a multitude of avenues. You could do Uber when you get back or something if you're at that industry, or you could invest in stocks or whatever. But yeah, he just emphasizes the hustle that you need to become a millionaire.
Yes. Step number four goes on to say, who's got my money? So you need to keep asking this question. So he gives us his own example, right? So he was in sales and the car sales, right? And he asked his question, who's got my money? So he knew he needed to reach out to people who needed car financing, in who were approaching car dealerships, but they needed car financing. So he started to provide that also to people, that service to in people. So he was providing two services at one location, which no one was doing at that time. So that actually helped him boost his income, right? Because he was continuously asking his questions that, who's got my money? Who's got my money? Because if you keep asking, find and you, what's the famous quote? How does it go like? Find and you shall seek. Ask and you shall be given an answer. So this is what this is, right? If you keep asking.
I said something along those lines.
Yeah. So if you need to ask the question, who's got my money? So if you need to, whatever niche you're in, you've got to ask it, because that will know, that will give you a direction to where you're headed, right? So if you're an online store, you're selling sunglasses, then you need to ask, who are your customers, right? Because if you know your customers, you can target them. Most people don't ask this question, and this is very important.
And it's really just about knowing, being self-aware of who your customers are, what they're like, and what their needs are. So just for example's sake, if you're running a lamp business where you sell luxury lamps and stuff, you might see that the demographic of your customers would be a middle-aged woman of sorts, right? So what kind of decorations or what kind of deals can you bring into your shop that would increase your revenue? So just being aware of who your target audience is and giving them experience that really brings more money out of their pocket, if you would put it in a sleazy kind of way. Or if you want to put it in a better way, just creating ways in which you can be of better service to your customers.
Yes, and this is what he did, right? He says when he banked his first $5 million, he focused on this question only, who's got my money? He traveled 300 days a year for over 6 years, knocking on doors of prospective buyers and investors for his business idea, right? He provided the service and they gained their money. He hated it, but he had to do it. So ask yourselves, who's got my money?
Step number five. I really feel like you have a really strong memory, CBS.
No.
Anyhow, moving forward.
Thanks. Yes. He says, stay broke. Step number five. And this is actually very important, right? He says that he heard Michael Douglas saying in the Wolf of Wall Street, right? I'm quoting off the book. He says, money doesn't sleep, right? And he taught to himself, but it gets bored. So what he did, what was his investment strategy? He minimized his expenses, right? And all the money he had, he actually put it into an account which he never touched, but the sacred account, right? So So every time he was every time he got paid, he wasn't spending on exotic cars or watches or vacations or parties. He was investing. He was basically keeping it in a separate account, right? And that actually helped him save a lot of money. Now, he wasn't always saving to save, right? He knew he needed to invest it. So let's see what happens in the next step, in which he goes deep into explaining what he did with that money. But the thing is, he was broke. He was making $1 million, but he was broke. He had no money because he was moving it in a secret account, which he couldn't touch. You want to add something to it?
This really goes back. I'm way ahead of you. This really goes back into, remember seeing Mark Cuban, if you go back to that podcast, that Mark Cuban was living as a college student, even while he was earning a lot of money. This really just emphasizes the fact that once you start earning money, it's not the fact that you start spending on luxury items and all that stuff to begin with. Because the fact is that you're not earning to be broke, because that's what most people do. Once they start getting rich, they start spending money on things that they don't need to impress people that they don't like. Right? Yep,
the famous quote.
So just reiterating that, and I'll give you the mic back.
Yep. So what Grant says is in step six, which is you save to invest. You just don't save to save, right? So what he did was he invested all of his real estate, right? So that money, when he invested in real estate, that money created more money and another income flow. So he was still working, but now his money was working for him as a separate thing, right? Because he was getting passive income via rental, right? Rental. He rented out. He bought an apartment complex, rented it out. He was receiving rental income, and he later on flipped that home property for I think double the profit, and he bought two more complex apartments. So he was making cash on cash, right? He was making money on top of money. So the money was actually working like a slave rather than him devoting his time. He was still giving keynotes, and he was still selling his main program, but his money was also working for him because he had saved it, right? And invested it wisely into real estate, which is one of the best kind of investments you can ever have. Because every business can go down, right? But real estate has actually made the most millionaires, if not billionaires, and that's a fact.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see this fact come up that you're actually saving to invest, and the fact that just making money work for you ties back to our first podcast. And one of the unshakable principles that we see repeating in a modern book, which is the fact that you have to make money work for you. If you listened to our podcast of the book, The Richest Man in Babylon, the author recommended saving 10% of your income to invest in any investment that you found feasible or any investment that you actually understood. And just like making the money work for you and saving up, because, you know, hard times are going to come, and like, you know,
they're going to come by the truckload.
Anyhow, I'll throw the mic back at you.
Yeah. Yep. So the next step is build multiple flows of income, right? So what you need to do is, so what he had going around, right, he saved all of his money, and he doesn't just save to save, because if you just save it in the savings account, you're going to get a nominal interest rate, which is going to be nothing. Even if you compound it, it's going to take you quite some time to let the compounding effect kick in. Most of it's going to get rotten away by inflation, right? So what he did, he moved into real estate, which created more income for him. So the step number 7 would be to create multiple flows of income, which he did, right? He had his main income, which was his sales program. His second business was his property, right? And he had another flow of income from giving keynotes and going at conferences. So he says he had more than 7 multiple flows of income, but this is what you should do, right? And the most important is never abandon the first flow, right? He still sells his main selling program. He never abandoned it, even though his real estate is making him more money. But you never abandon the first flow. He says, today I have over 50 streams of income.
Okay, yes. And if you've ever heard of, if you've ever known any stock trader or any investor in stock market or the foreign exchange market, they'll all tell you one thing in particular for their success. If you talk to a hedge fund manager, they'll all say diversify. Because nothing's a given at the end of the day, like even as you're working towards it. Apple stock might just dip 40%, and you know, your net worth just took a huge dip. But diversifying is really, it's one of the smarter techniques that we've seen in as humans have progressed. The fact is that most people who have stayed millionaires after becoming millionaires have diversified their streams of income. And that's really a way of staying at the top. Rather, so it's kind of like you have your one thing in the beginning to get there, but eventually you want to switch it up so you have multiple streams of income. And like Aurangzeb was saying, that Grant Cardone earns more from his real estate now, right? So
yeah.
You never really know all the opportunities that you can have with the difference. So, I mean, real estate might be your cup of tea, but you've been stuck in debt, something like that.
Yeah. So go back to the podcast if you, because over there we discuss, right? You only invest in what you have knowledge of, right? Don't invest or give your money to person. So if you don't understand real estate or stocks, don't invest in it, right? Or don't give your money to someone who's a carpenter and you think he knows about real estate. He might know about homes, but he doesn't know about real estate. So it's two different disciplines. And finally, the last step goes on to say that repeat, rinse, repeat, and stay hyper-focused. Because if you keep repeating these actions, keep adding more income, you'll become a millionaire. Because you did the math, you added more income, you did not spend foolishly, you invested, you repeated the actions, like repeated successful actions, cut out the losers, and you remain focused on your craft, you will become a millionaire, which we are also on road to become.
And then you 10x that. And then you've got a billion. Then you 10x that. But anyhow.
You keep 10x. This was it.
I feel like, what was I going to say? I got nothing. But anyhow, thank you for listening to our podcast.
Hope you got something. I love it.
Yep, really hope you did. We enjoyed doing this one, I think. Have a good one, y'all. We'll see you on the next exciting episode of Shake
Dragon Ball Z.